Greetings, people of God. It's with mixed feelings that I am now going to deliver to an empty faith church because of the COVID virus and we're not able to meet together, but I'm going to deliver what will be my last sermon here at Faith Church. It's been a great and blessed time to be able to serve as senior pastor here at Faith Church, and I wish every one of you, all of my dear faith family and friends, God's richest blessing as our life changes, and of course so does yours. For this final sermon at Faith Church, our theme is Now, Pass It On. Our text will be Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31, and also Psalm 145, verse 4. Psalm 22 at verse 25. From you comes the theme of my assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. And then this one verse, quite some later in the psalm, Psalm 145, just one verse, verse 4. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Dear people of God, most of you know that every year that the Olympics are held, before the official ceremony starts, the Olympic torch is carried by runners all across the host country. Each runner carries the torch for a few miles and then hands it off to another runner. What an honor it would be to be designated a torchbearer. You would probably train long and hard to get ready for the great day and those several minutes of honor that you share with the other runners as you carry the torch. You would get to receive the torch from another and carry it for your assigned time, taking very special care not to drop it along the way. And then, when you reach your appointed designated spot, pass it on to someone else when the right time comes. I think this is like our faith. Even though the Olympics have been postponed this year because of the COVID virus that we're all dealing with as best we can, our faith is like these torchbearers. Every one of us in the race of life, and the torch of faith has been passed to us from someone else. Maybe your parents, maybe a friend, maybe a stranger who's become part of your faith family. We have been challenged to carry the faith torch and to pass it on to others, to your friends, to your children, to acquaintances. Will you be faithful? Will you be a faithful torch bearer? Will you carry it well? As we read in Psalm 145, verse 4, it says there, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Are you one of those faithful people in your generation? Will you pass it on? I'm declaring for this farewell and final sermon for me, from me, to Faith Church, a theme, Now, Pass It On. So, first point is, whom do we pass to? The first word we should notice in Psalm 22, verse 30, is posterity. Now, the posterior side of something is that which comes behind, what follows. My dictionary says that it is the quality or state of being later. We don't have trains on Guam, but trains in the U.S. and other parts of the world used to have something called a caboose. Nowadays, they have an electronic device, which includes a camera, and they no longer have a caboose. But just picture that in your mind and wonder, where would we find that device? At the posterior of the train. Or, someone might say, the north end of a southbound train, which would come into town later than the engine and the lead cars. Posterity comes from the same word to mean later, or more specifically, succeeding generations. I am, in this sense of the word, the posterity of my grandparents and my parents, and so are you. So that's why our text says future generations. Every parent and grandparent, even great-grandparents, have concern for our children. We want them to grow upright, so we teach them how to behave in the presence of others. We teach them manners so that they are polite when answering the phone or the door. We teach them to be respectful to other adults and to eat properly and to get enough rest. It should be natural that we are also concerned about their faith, as so many of us are. I once heard someone say, "We don't tell our kids what they have to do. We just give them suggestions and hope they make good choices." Now, I would submit to you that that's a time bomb waiting to go off. It's an escape for the parents who do not want to take responsibility and to appropriately train their children. Of course, children should learn to make good choices as they grow and mature. That certainly would be an excellent art of parenting. But sometimes children must be told what is expected of them and what they must do. Just think what a good coach say to the players, "Just do what you want. I won't tell you what to do." Of course not. No self-respecting and a good coach would take that approach. We're talking about training, and everybody needs training. Of course, some more than others. When young people once were working on a project together, a dog house that would be auctioned off, the leader, the adult leader of the youth group didn't just say, "Just go ahead and do what you think might work to build a dog house." No, he told them how to do various things that are now soon became a very nice dog house. Training. Training is God's will. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 6 is an excellent example of this. What will happen to young people who are trained? Our text in Psalm 22, verses 30 through 31, tells us that two things will happen to the next generation, our posterity, if we are faithful. First is they will be told. This is the result of faithfully passing on our faith. The phrase, "we will be told," implies that they will also listen and will hear the good news. But they need not only hear it with their ears, but also with their minds and with their hearts. Only then will the training become a part of them that they will value and that they will want to share with others. God's word is placing much responsibility on those who must pass on the faith and placing some responsibility on the ones who will receive it. To use the similar example to passing the torch, many years ago, more than 50 years ago, I was in high school and was involved in track. And one of my expertise areas was on a relay team. Now, of course, all four of the team members needed to be good at running. We were a two-mile relay, and so each member ran one half mile of that two-mile relay. But if the fast runners could not smoothly pass the baton to the next runner, and if the next runner couldn't receive it well, they will absolutely not win the relay race. Both giving and receiving had to be done well, for the passing on to be a success. If either one fails, the passer or the receiver, if either one fails, the whole pass fails and the whole race fails. We've probably all seen situations where bad guidance is given. So no matter how well the listener tries it, it does not go well. We've also seen times where good advice or guidance is given, but the hearer thinks he or she knows how to do it or is preoccupied with something else that they don't listen and they fail at the task. A good tip in receiving direction or advice is to repeat it back so we are sure we really heard what was said, really understood the guidance that was given. Well, the second thing that will happen is, the text says, they will serve him. Now, when we learn something and make it a part of our lives, then it will show in the way we live our lives. What people learn, they put into practice. I remember a long time ago, a friend helped another friend put in a new floor in a home. And it went just great. The younger person was a good listener and learner, and the older person was very accomplished at the task of installing new flooring in the house, and it turned out great. Putting what we learn into practice is the proof that we listened, that we learned well, and that we were given good training. It's no embarrassment to not know something if we have not yet learned it. No one knows how to do anything until they learn it. And then once we learn something, we can use it often and even teach others. When someone learns the truth about our great and glorious God and what a joy it is to serve him and to love him and to obey him, and then they will see it in our lives. They will want to believe it as well. Have you ever seen someone just naturally and easily give a word of encouragement or say just the right thing into a problem or a difficult situation? Have you ever wished you could do that? They learned and put it into practice. And when you see it, you can learn and then practice it too. So what will the receivers of the baton, of the torch, what will they do with it? Well, first, their witness. The text says they will proclaim his righteousness. This becomes their story, and they will want to tell it over and over again, just as one never tires of telling the story of a vacation trip or a great cruise experience or some other kind of great experience. It becomes significant that the receiver will talk of God's righteousness and talk about what God has done to give them their salvation. They will tell of the Savior and his willingness to take our place as punishment for our sins. And then notice, too, that this message will go to a people yet unborn, says the text. Our goal is to see the heritage of faith preserved and passed along. My prayer for Faith Church is that this will be the case, that we will learn God's will, we will learn God's word well, and we will pass it on to our young people, and to generations not yet born. Maybe most of you have heard that our friends Dan and Sita have now a new granddaughter. This is only one example of many examples here at Faith Church where we can hope to pass on the faith that we have, the Word of God that we hear and understand, that we can pass it on to children and grandchildren. It is not too early for them and all of us to be training and learning to be able to pass along the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, and when appropriate, to our posterity. Take my word for it. It is wonderful to see our children and grandchildren, and not me personally yet, but possibly great-grandchildren, when they walk in the path and the footsteps of Jesus and according to his word. So if you may anticipate the birth of a child or a grandchild, think of the greatest things you have to share with them. If I am able to leave my children and grandchildren no earthly wealth or possessions, But if I have shared my faith with them and they have believed, then I will have passed it on to them, something that is of the greatest value. They will be then among the richest people on earth. Back in Deuteronomy 7, He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His command. What an awesome thought! Most of us only can think in terms of 1, 2, sometimes at most 3 generations. I have known people who take 4 and 5 generation photographs with an elderly grandparent and a brand new baby. 1,000 generations, it boggles our mind. And think about the possibilities. Because of your testimony and faithfulness, 1,000 years from now, people will still be talking about and praising Almighty God because of your testimony, because of mine. Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7, carries the same thought in a little different way. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. So let me tell you that I think the upshot of this, it is my prayer that I have passed on wisdom, understanding of God's word, and ability to put it into practice. But we must pass it on now. It really is urgent. Do not wait till later or let people stumble along without the truth. We should get busy. We should do our best. We should train and plan and prepare, and whenever God gives grace and opportunity, we should pass it on. But Pastor, what if I do my best? What if things don't turn out like I hope, no matter how hard I try? History buffs would know this. I'll just tell all of you that John Quincy Adams was the son of the 2nd President of the United States and became the 6th President. And for many, many, many years, he is the only president in our history, and may still be, to re-enter politics after having served as Adams became a congressman after his presidency in 1831. And during his time in Congress, he adamantly opposed slavery. That was a long and difficult battle, and any sign of progress seemed to elude him most of his time. He worked tirelessly in Congress for 18 years until one day he collapsed on the floor of the House from a stroke, from which he died 2 days later. Before that, he once was asked why he never seemed discouraged over championing such, at the time, an unpopular fight against slavery. He said, "Duty is ours. Results are God's." Thank you, President Adams. Just this week, I was in a situation where I actually quoted that and didn't remember who first said it. So now I proclaim that it was former President John Quincy Adams, the 6th President of the United States, who went on to serve in Congress for 18 years and fought an uphill battle against evil, the evil of slavery. I am inspired by such a story, and I pray that you will be as well. You see, your God-given wisdom is what we can and must share with the next generation, with church leaders and future church leaders, and every follower of Christ, with every child and adult. It is my prayer that Faith Church will continue to pass on what we have learned from others and what you've learned from me, because it is all based on God's word. Do your very best to do your duty, to pass on the truth, and leave the results to God. People of God, I will continue to pray for Faith Church. I will forever be part of what we love to call the faith family. Pass on this wonderful legacy that we are building and will continue to build. Pass it on to future generations to obey and serve our great and glorious God, to be true followers of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we often do, I thank you again for your word. We thank you that Old Testament psalmists and New Testament writers and many faithful people have understood and picked up and taken the challenge to hear good advice, to pass on that good advice like a torchbearer would for the Olympic torch or a relay team. Help us to be inspired by that idea. Help us to pass on what you have given us so that future generations will know you, love you, and serve you. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.